Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In Genesis chapter 48 and 49, what we have recorded for us is the death of Jacob. And especially in chapter 49, beginning at verse 29, we have a very powerful section of scripture where there he charged his son saying, "I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place." And then we read, "And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people." We saw the distinction there. Being gathered to his people is immediately he was taken to be with all of those who have died in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went immediately to be with them. His spirit and his body went into the ground to wait for the future resurrection. That's why he gave instructions concerning his body. And so, but it's a beautiful truth here that immediately he was gathered to his people. I said yesterday, how long did Jacob live? 147 years. How long has it been since he died? Thousands of years. He's been enjoying a place of eternal bliss and happiness, communing with all the saints for thousands of years. Imagine from Jacob's perspective, daily seeing saints enter heaven, sitting down and communing and serving and enjoying a place so wonderful that the apostle couldn't describe it with words, saying, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." He's been living in a better land for thousands of years and will for all eternity. What sort of questions does that provoke in us? Well, the distinctive truth of Christianity is that everyone is going to either one of two of these destinies, two of these eternities, heaven or hell. You know, I say this in such a sad way, in such a heartbreaking way. I heard on the news this past week, you know, the Reverend Jesse Jackson said that Michael Jackson has earned his rest. Let him rest with the divines. You know, I don't know if we're making ourselves very clear today. Not everyone is going to heaven. And if it is apart from faith in Jesus Christ, if one dies without believing and resting in him, the Bible is unequivocally clear. Jesus says they go to a place of eternal torment. So if any of these figures that are dying, you know, we've had a lot of recent deaths of very well-known, big-name figures in the world. If any of them die apart from faith in Jesus, their life was the greatest tragedy. And yet we hold them up as great icons. Our children put posters of them on the walls. I'm sorry, that is the wrong view, my friends. What will these people say to their makers, to their maker? That I was able to slam dunk a basketball in a hoop? That I was able to do the moonwalk? What are they going to say to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see why our message has to be so clear. One day we're all going to die. We're here for a moment, and then our life vanishes away, and at the moment of death, we're swept into eternity. Jacob was gathered to his people. To whom will we be gathered? Where will we be gathered? Well, the issue, the Bible says, is about this window of time God gives. The issue is faith in his son. Faith is resting and believing in his son, because Jesus is the only one who can overcome and has overcome. While we still breathe, we must believe in him. What a tragedy it would be, as one pastor said, to see millions gather to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom and ourselves cast out. You know, if someone would have asked me years ago, on what basis do you think you will be gathered into heaven on that day? I think I would have been really stumped by that question. I was so apathetic to spiritual things. I'm sure I would have just presumed I was going there because, hey, God's on my side, you know. Parents raised me a Christian. God is love, and God doesn't do any of that bad stuff. He doesn't judge. I just was totally apathetic to the truth. Well, none of those things, none of these external benefits are going to get me into heaven. The only benefit, the only thing that really matters is the benefit of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and I must receive that by faith alone. Well, we're left with the abiding testimony of this in Jacob, who dies in faith. Does all of this remove the reality that even for the Christian, death is a terrible enemy? No, death is a terrible enemy. It produces sorrow because it's not natural. It was the result of that terrible judgment that God made on the human race at the beginning for their rebellion against him. And that's why death is still all around us today. And it's a terrible, painful reality. And that's what we see here in the chapter, that Joseph falls on his father's face and he weeps over him and kisses him. And the emphasis now focuses on Jacob's body. You know, there are even promises, my friends, made regarding our bodies. These very bodies will rise again. And you know, today I often hear that, you know, when someone dies, well, that's not so-and-so, that's just their shell. You know, our bodies are an integral part of who we are. We are made up of two parts, a body and a soul, and soul is synonymous with spirit. And so we have a body and a spirit. The spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord, and the body goes into the grave and waits for the future resurrection. Well, there will be a brand new body. That body will be raised glorified. And you know, in this section here with Jacob's death, his son Joseph and all the sons weep. They weep. And you know, death is a hard reality. But I think what's so powerful about Genesis is that Joseph has been the deliverer throughout the end of Genesis here. In light of the enemy of death, Joseph is powerless. The shadow stops here. You know, so he weeps, and you'll notice that in Genesis 50 that, you know, he commands the Egyptians to embalm the body of Jacob. You know what the Egyptians believe? They uncover these mummies all the time. They were masters of embalming the body because, you ever wonder why? Well, because they believed in the cult of the god Osiris. They believed that in order for the soul to continue to live, it had to accompany the body. So after death, the soul could not exist without the body, so they did everything in their power to preserve the corpse through mummification. And that's why they had tomb raiders who would try to desecrate the bodies of the deceased so that the current Pharaoh and his sons would reign supreme. Joseph didn't believe any of this. He embalms the body to take it back through the long journey to Canaan. To Canaan, because that was the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, figuratively speaking. That there was the eternal land, the land of the new heavens and the new earth, the land of milk and honey, of which that Canaan represented, where the Jerusalem above is, the mother of us all, Paul said. That's where they went, and they were not home, these pilgrims. They confessed that. They believed that. They waited for the city of God, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And so the body is embalmed, and they have a grand procession back to the land of Canaan. I can't imagine how emotional it must have been, my friends, when Joseph rolled away the tomb, and they're sitting there in silence were the bodies of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and now Leah, and Joseph lays his father Jacob's body there next to them all. Hebrews tells us that all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know what that means? Somewhere over there, they rest together their bodies, waiting for what? Well, waiting for this. One day a man came to Jesus and said, my servant is sick. Can you heal him? Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the man said, well, just speak a word. I believe in your power and authority. Just speak a word. And Jesus marveled and said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. And then he said this. This is what I want to focus on. I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus just said, a day is coming when he will bring from all the nations, all the Gentiles, a great company to feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That's the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise, land, and in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, the Gentiles. Here's your picture. Christ is at the forefront. He is not leading a funeral today, but a victory march. We follow him, surrounded by the armies of the living God. At the moment of death, we are brought as Christians to the eternal city, the eternal Jerusalem, to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Two destinies are outlined here. The only way anyone enters, my friends, is by faith. Faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. This is what we learn today. Such faith defines who we are, the testimony of that we're leaving to our children, what we're valuing, what we're living for, where we're going. Death is coming to us all. Jesus is the only one who has the power to lay down his own life and to take it up again. And on that basis, because he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's the one who has overcome all those who come to him, he will indeed raise up again. When I hear people saying, don't ever stop fighting in your fights for cancer or all these sort of things, we should plead with them. You're going to die. There's only one who has fought and overcome, and his name is Jesus. And on the basis that he is alive, all who believe in him can be assured that they too will rise because he is risen indeed. May then, my friends, all of our eyes be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, fixed on him, for he is the resurrection and the life, and all who come to him, he will by no means cast out.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.